Well, I ask an interest in your prayers this evening as we look into the scriptures for a while. I know these times that we have here are valuable and we don't have any time to waste. I certainly don't want to waste yours. I'd like to begin this evening by telling you that God loves you. He has a plan of salvation that is tailor-made to fit every need that you have. He knows everything about you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows those things that elicit a response, a reaction from you. He knows what causes that. He knows down inside of you those things that would move you. And He is one that is able to reach down and tug on those components in your life that He has placed there to cause us to be able to respond. He knows the events of your life. He knows everything that you have faced. He knows everything that you have seen and heard. He knows all about your family environment. He knows the environment in which you were reared. He knows the culture in which you were reared. He knows everything about those components of your life. And He has a plan of salvation that is tailor-made to fit your need. The world in which we live today has allowed some things to be really twisted and turned upside down. The world has allowed there to be a fulfillment of the scripture where good is called evil and evil is called good. And I realize that we are bombarded with that. It seems as though our society, our culture is saturated with the constant push and pressure of trying to enforce those things upon us and cause us to respond and react in ways that we normally would not. I'll share this little thing with you. This is kind of getting off on a side track. But I'm going to tell you in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 22, I believe it's verse 6, maybe verse 5, the scripture says, "A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination to the Lord." Now that's the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not my interpretation. It's the Word of God. But I tell you that because of time and the effects and the impacts of society, the response to the violation of that scripture has become much less intense because society has accepted the women wearing a man's garment as a norm. It's just been accepted as a norm, but it's not a norm. It's a violation of the Word of God, and the scripture plainly tells us. Now, the other part of that scripture is also something that is being pushed by our society. I offer this just for consideration. Which is more absurd? For a man to wear a woman's garment in public or a woman to wear a man's garment in public? Just for consideration. Which is more absurd? In the eyes of God, they're equally absurd. But what my point here is that because of societal pressure and what society accepts as norms, those things impact you and me in the way we think and respond to those events. But God knows your environment. He knows those circumstances. He knows everything about who you are and the environment in which you were reared. He knows those events in your life, and He has a salvation plan that is quite capable of meeting your needs. Whatever those needs may be, it's tailor-made for every individual. I'm thankful for that, folks. Because I'll be honest with you, there are things in me, in my relationship with God, that you know nothing about. There are things with you and your relationship with God that I know nothing about. But God knows how to deal with you individually, and He knows how to deal with me as an individual, and He has a plan of salvation that will meet my needs, and I thank God for that. Thank God for that. Only He can and only He knows how to forgive you for those things that need forgiveness in your life, that need to be covered with the blood of Jesus. God's salvation plan is a perfect plan. It can't be put on the same thing, same plane as anything that man can contrive. Now in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31, I'd like to turn here quickly. Look at a scripture, Genesis 1, 31. And God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God is our Creator. He is the Creator of this universe. When He looked at everything that He had made, everything that had been spoken into existence, this word, very good, is really an understatement of what God was saying. In the Hebrew, that word means it was vehemently good. Vehemently good. Now, there's a difference in something just being good, and something being very good, and something being vehemently good. When God finished His creation, everything that He had done, it was vehemently good, with great force. It was imminent. Eminently wonderful, marvelous, magnificent. Everything that God did, everything that He spoke, everything that He put into His creation was vehemently, powerfully good. He made a man and a woman. He made them with the ability to hear His voice, and He created them with the ability to make choice. The scripture tells us that He placed in the midst of the garden a tree. In the midst of the garden. Not in a corner. Not on the side somewhere. Right in the midst of the garden. And He said, don't touch it. Don't go near it. The day that you touch it, the day that you partake of anything on that tree, you will die. He created you and me with the ability to choose. He created us with the ability to hear and think and reason and make choice. When He did that, He had also established and ordained a plan for your redemption, for my redemption, in the event that man made an errant choice so that he could be brought back into favor with God. God was not surprised. God was not caught off guard. God did not have to resort to plan B when the tempter came along and caused Adam and Eve to transgress. He had already ordained and established a way for them to have redemption through a Savior. As Scripture says in the book of Revelation, I saw as it were a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means the beginning. Before ever man was created, I believe that God already had ordained and established a way for man to be bought back, redeemed, rescued, because He gave him the power to make a choice. My opinion is this. It would not be reasonable, it would not be right, just, for God to create an individual, a being that had the ability to choose, think, reason, hear, and make choice. He would not be reasonable for him to do that and realize that he could make an errant choice and then leave him twisting in the wind with no hope. No, He made a plan so that you and I could be rescued. Thank God this evening, folks. Thank God. I say if it hadn't been Adam and if it hadn't been Eve, it would have been me. It would have been me. It would have been you. We all needed and need a Redeemer. Now God began in the book of the Exodus to establish a means of showing His children, His people, what His plan of salvation would look like. When He began to speak with Moses about leaving the land of Egypt, Egypt being a type of sin, you remember the case where they had been through all of the plagues, Pharaoh and Moses with their interaction with one another. The plagues had been pronounced upon the land of Egypt. The final plague, if you remember, the final plague was the plague of death. The plague of death was an awful plague, folks. That plague of death was one that God wanted them to understand. He wanted them to see and know and realize what that really would be, what it meant. So, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have one more. I want you to go tell Pharaoh. And I want you to tell my people, this is the remedy for the plague of death. I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to go to your flocks. I want you to take the firstborn. I want you to take one without blemish. And I want you to slay it. I want you to eat of it. Folks, these things have significance. I want you to eat of it. I want you to take the blood. I want you to take the blood from that lamb and I want you to apply it over the doorposts of your house and the lintels. I want you to apply it because when the death angel goes through the land and he sees the blood, he will pass over your house. The scripture tells us that Christ is our Passover. So that night, the scripture tells us, that night when the death angel passed through the land, it says a great cry went out throughout the land of Egypt because there was not an house where there was not one dead. But in the land of Goshen, where the blood had been applied, the death angel passed over the land. Folks, that death angel means everything. The Passover lamb means everything to you and me. I present that to you this evening because I want us to know that when God created what He did, it was vehemently good. His plan was vehemently good. What He had ordained and established from the beginning was without question vehemently good. There is nothing about God's plan of salvation that cannot reach you if you are willing. Everything that God had to give, He has given. The absolute best that could be given has been given. It has been put forth, it has been sent out, it has been stretched forth to all of humanity, to whomsoever will. But we had a problem there in the beginning with Adam and Eve in their perfect environment. They transgressed, and the curse was passed down. You and I are dealing with that curse today. We're still dealing with everything that God so vehemently did well. Man, in his ability to choose and make his own decisions and own wise ways, has chosen in so many instances to go against the Word of God, the counsel of God, and the vehemently good creation He has made. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's what I'd like to read this evening. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That, folks, is an essential element that you and I need to embrace in our walk with the Lord. Not the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is what I would like to try to speak to us about this evening, contrasting the two, the wisdom of men against the power of God. I think that we would do well to remember that God's wrath against sin will come. It will come. We need not brush that aside. We need not think that just because all things continue as they were from the beginning, and since our fathers fell asleep, and we're just going to lull our own selves to sleep, that there's not coming a day when we will be held accountable for everything that we have done, the thoughts, the reactions, the responses, everything that we have done, we will be held accountable for those things. We need a Savior. Let your faith, your belief, your desire, your interest in doing the things to serve the Lord would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Everything that you and I know about God comes through revelation. It comes through God being willing to condescend Himself and speak to us through His Holy Spirit and help us to understand and know who He is, what He is, and what He is doing in my life and in your life. It comes through revelation. There are things that we know because we hear and we are taught. But the real understanding and the essence of who God is, what He is, and what He wants to be to you and for you in your life comes through that personal relationship and a revelation of God Almighty speaking to that part of man that He put inside of you that He did not put in any other creature. He gave to you the ability to hear, to think, respond, reason, make choice, and act upon your choice. He gave us the understanding. He told Adam and Eve in that garden, He said, don't go near it, don't touch the tree, because when you do, you will die. The tempter said, you'll not surely die. No, they did not die when they touched the tree. No, they did not drop dead when they ate of the fruit. It was forbidden. But you remember what happened shortly after that transaction between the tempter and Adam and Eve. God came along. Adam, where are you? Lord, I was afraid. I went and hid myself because I was naked. Who told you that, Adam? Do you see, folks, what I'm talking about? There is something that God put inside of every individual that responds and reacts to those things when we ought to know what is right and wrong. Only God is able to transcend those things that the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, have put in our hearts and our minds of our youth, of our children, of the things that we're just bombarded with. Only the wisdom of God, the power of God, is able to break that power. To break that force and transcend that and cause a man to be willing to recognize his errant way and be willing to repent. So God has done that. Adam, who told you? Adam, have you done that thing which I told you not to do? Well, Lord, the woman that you gave to me, she brought me of the food. Now, here's another thing, folks. At that point, as far as I can understand in the Scripture, there were only two human beings on the earth. Adam and his wife Eve. What an awful predicament to be in. Eve comes to Adam and says, Adam, I've partaken of the fruit. I can only imagine the feelings that Adam may have had. I say I can only imagine it because that's all I can do. Maybe she said, here, you have some. He says, she gave to me and I did eat. But here's Adam, again, with the ability to exercise choice. He could say no. I'll tell you, folks, there are pressures brought to bear by the society that in which we live that make it very, very difficult sometimes to make choices that are congruent with the will of God. There are things that Satan has seen to it that he has got a toehold in. He's driven a wedge in that into homes, into families, situations, domestic situations where it becomes difficult sometimes to know what to do and how to do, how to respond, and what do I say. Here is Adam, a man standing before his wife Eve and before his God. He says, Eve, you didn't. Well, yes, I did. Would you join me with it? Can you imagine? If he says no, what happens then? If he says no, I can't do it, Eve. Where does the relationship go after that? Oh, there's so many things to suppose, and I can't begin to run through it all in my mind. I only realize that power of choice does impact those close to us. What you choose to do with your life, the direction you choose to go, makes an impact on those around you. In your home, in your family, in your congregations, in your community, it makes a difference. It makes a difference on how they look at you, how they will respond to you. Oh, may God have mercy on us. Adam says, she offered it to me, and I ate. Maybe he's thinking this. If I don't, she's going to die, and I'll be left alone. There's no one else here with me. I had all the animals brought before me, and there wasn't anything there that answered to me. Not one thing. The only thing that answer to me is what my God created for me. So I made the decision to join her in the transgression. And the curse was passed upon both. In our human wisdom, we have turned natural laws upside down. That doesn't change any of the natural laws. Everything that God has ordained and established in His description of it being vehemently good still remains. But we assume a role of having a greater understanding and a higher intelligence than actual Creator, you see. Because we know how to, as we heard earlier this morning, we know how to be tolerant. We know how to tolerate those things. And may I say this, God wants every one of His children to have the spirit of love and mercy to every one of His creation and be willing to help any one of His creation that wants to find that relationship with Him. We have an obligation to do everything that we can to foster that growth. We love Him because He first loved us. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I don't have any goodness of my own. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. If God had mercy and saved my soul and saved your soul, then why can he not have mercy and save the souls of those who are errant and have deviant lifestyles? Can he not do that? Absolutely he can. Does he want to do it? Absolutely he does. Do we need to do everything that we can to help precipitate that? Absolutely we do. The Lord wants us to have the right mindset, the right spirit, the right attitude to do everything that we can, but having a standard, a biblical standard that we must hold a resistance against those kinds of lifestyles. We must do that in the right way. Yes, in Romans it says they changed the truth of God into a lie. Worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Yes, it says that they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. And he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. God did that. He only did that because of the power of choice that you and I have, you see. And may the Lord help us when we exercise that power of choice and when we see others exercising that same power of choice that we have a heart of love and mercy reaching out as much as we possibly can to those. Now here in 1 Corinthians again, same chapter, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Folks, hear these words. These aren't my words. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That is our job. It is our job to do everything that we can to proclaim the message of the gospel, knowing that there is help, that there is hope, that there is an answer, that there is a way back. Be able to try to reach those souls, folks, in this world in which we live. I believe it was said today, maybe it was yesterday, talking about witnessing to someone knocking on the door, and they talking about telling them about Jesus, giving them a tract, I believe it was, or an invitation to a meeting. Knocked on one door, and the lady says, I don't know who Jesus Christ is. I haven't heard of Jesus Christ. That we need to be able to have a reason of the hope that is in us, to be able to give an answer for the reason why we feel and think the way that we do. With a heart of love. Because the only way that you and I were ever saved is because God loved us. Because someone was willing to answer the call and speak. And we know, you and I know very well what happened when the Lord knocked on your heart's door. That vehemently good creation that He made, that Holy Spirit of His, was able to peel back all of the layers at one time and allow you to see your helpless, hopeless, undone condition, and cause a scroll to roll before your eyes and realize that with all of these things, if I meet God with this in my life, I am lost, hopeless, helpless, and undone. So I want to change direction just a little bit. May God help us here. I look in this congregation and I see all of these children who are here. And I'm going to be honest with you, my heart goes out to all of these children. And I know the scripture tells us, don't say that the older days, the earlier days are better than these. Because you don't inquire wisely about these matters. But I know this. That our society is doing everything that it can to twist the thinking of their minds and put things in their minds that ought not be there. And that we have a responsibility to do everything that we can to help them understand the difference between right and wrong. I say to, just a little personal note, I grew up on my father's side of the family. There were 10 boys. First cousins on my daddy's side, 10 boys. Not a girl amongst the group. Oh, the things we did. We were boys. We pushed. We shoved. We rolled. We tumbled. We threw. We tackled. We arm wrestled. We did everything that boys could do, could think about doing, exercising those muscles that God gave to a man, to a boy, bringing those things into a place where they could someday be useful in service to Him, useful in society. I think that we do well, folks. I'm not saying that we need to turn a blind eye to bad behavior. But folks, let's not try to make our little boys soft. Let's not try to make them soft. Let's let them be boys. Let's let them grow up to be men. Let's let them know it is all right to work hard. Let them know it's good to have a muscle on your arm. Let them know it's good if they wrestle and tussle. Folks, why do they do those things? Why did we do it? We were boys. Yes, we had to be called to limits at times. We didn't know what a little girl was. We found out. But we didn't know what a little girl was. There were things that we had to learn. We had to be taught how to have respect. We had to be taught how to have manners. We had to be taught how to respond and react to the little girls, because we were nothing but a bunch of boys doing boy things. I say to us today, folks, in the fear of God, this world, the society in which we live, is trying to take our little boys and make them something that they are not. And they're trying to take our little girls and make them something they are not. In the world in which we live today, there is a word, a term called gender dysphoria, where those who were born, biologically born, male or female, are generally dissatisfied and have trouble identifying with their birth sex. I say to us, these people need our prayers. That's a difficult struggle to have. When you are in that place, whatever your situation was, whatever your home environment has been, whatever it is that causes you to respond and react in those kinds of ways, the Lord wants there to be a correction of that. He wants you to know what His Word says. He wants you to know what is vehemently good. He wants you to know what is the right way. He wants you to be able to live a life that is fulfilled in Him. There are those today, folks, who are miserable in life because they cannot identify with what their birth sex is or was. And many years ago, I remember someone standing up on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, in service, making comment, testimony about rearing their children, wanting to try to do it the right way, and sharing a story where a family who had a child, don't remember if it was a little boy or a little girl, had a child, and they were not going to say anything to that child about what their birth gender was. They were going to let that child grow up and decide at some point in their life whether they were boy or girl. Wisdom of the world, wisdom of men, contrasted with the wisdom and the power of God. I say to us, folks, we need to be careful. The society in which we live is doing everything it can to to taint us. I look at these little girls. I have three beautiful granddaughters. Now I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to put it out as my opinion. You take it how you feel. But I think that we do well to acknowledge that sure is a pretty little dress you have on. I think that we do well to acknowledge to them, your hair sure looks pretty today. I'm not talking about it coming from the little boyfriends. I'm talking about coming from their parents. I'm talking about from their grandparents, from their aunts and uncles, those who have a positive influence in their lives, to let them feel the reinforcement of knowing what the vehement plan of God was for them, and to let them know, you're a pretty little girl. That's a beautiful little dress you have on. Oh, I like those shoes, darling. Son, you can run fast. I saw you out there on the playground today and y'all had a relay race. I saw you lined up with Jimmy and buddy, when you took off, the rocks were flying behind your feet. You can run. You can really run fast. We can do things, folks, to supplement and help them realize who they are and what they are and what God wants them to be. We want them to feel comfortable in the way that God made them. We want them to know that when God made them, He did it vehemently good. We don't want them to feel so confused about life and feel that they're nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. We want them to know that it is okay to be a rough and tumble little boy. I hope you take me in the right vein here. I know it has to be tempered. I know it has to be moderated. But folks, if we're not careful, we'll make them soft. And if we're not careful, we'll make our little girls hard. We want them to be soft. We want them to be feminine. We want them to know that the way God made them is a beautiful way. We want them to know that the way that God chose to make them, the way their hair, if they've got straight hair, if they've got curly hair, if they've got black hair, brown hair, blonde hair, red hair, whatever it may be, we want them to know that the way that God made you is beautiful. Grandpa loves the way you look, darling. It's beautiful to me. Daddy loves the way you look, honey. You're a beautiful little girl. Oh, son, come out here with Daddy and let's put a new belt on the lawnmower. Come out here and let's do a little yard work. Just the other day, one of my grandsons out doing some work with his father, not old enough to do the work, folks. But he had a shovel. He had a shovel about 2 feet long, and he was raking dirt off the trailer too. I looked at that and I said, amen. In my heart and my mind, I said, amen. I want him to know what it's like someday. I want you to know what it's like to have sore muscles one day. I want you to know what it's like to have cramps in your body. I want you to know what it's like to have calluses and blisters on your hands because you've worked hard all day. I want you to know what it's like to push against your flesh that says, I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up to go to work today. But you go because there's been things instilled in you that you could face opposition and deal with opposition and go ahead anyway. I want you to be able to do that. I want you little girls to be able to be with mommy, fold clothes, fold towels. Do they always get them square and straight and neat? Of course not. The little boys always put the dirt in the hole you want it in? Of course not. But they're doing what they can, and we ought to do everything we can to foster that in them. Because we have a contrast in the world in which we live, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. Folks, the honest truth is the wisdom of man has turned this thing upside down, and you and I are dealing with the effects of it today. Parents, teach your children the beautiful design of manhood, womanhood. Do everything that you can to help them understand. Do everything that you can to help them know that when God made them, He made them vehemently beautiful. He made them good. Not just a little bit good. I know that it takes patience and endurance on the part of parents. I know. I know you get tired. I know they can ask question after question after question. And sometimes you don't even know how to answer the questions they ask because they just keep firing one right behind the other. And before you can get an answer to that question out, another one's right on the heels of it, and you can hardly have the chance to even think. I know that. But they're doing it from what God put in them. The ability to think and reason and choose. The ability to deduct. The ability to hear information. And I am amazed at how much they actually are listening to what you say. But Grandpa, you said. Yeah, I did. But Daddy, you said. And we have to stop at that moment and realize they're listening more than we think. I might be driving down the highway and the questions are coming faster than I can process them, and I'm just giving answers. And they're listening to those answers. But Grandpa, you said, did I say that? Did I really say that? Maybe I wasn't paying attention. And if that's the case, shame on me. Folks, God loves everyone. I said at the beginning, He has created a plan. He has made a plan of salvation that is capable of answering every need that a human being could have. He has a plan of salvation that can deliver those who are dealing with gender dysphoria. He has a plan of salvation that can address those needs. He has a plan of salvation that can address those who deal with the confusion in their minds of the society in which they live. Maybe their parents didn't tell them when I was growing up that you're a little boy. Maybe they didn't tell me I was a little girl. Maybe they didn't tell me. Maybe they just put gender neutral things on me. And when they just let me choose at some point whether I was going to be a boy or a girl, whether I was born that way or not. Oh, folks, let's be careful. We don't want to swallow the wisdom of this world. I understand there are some things that this world does that have benefit to them. But, oh, we got to be careful. We've got to be careful. And I pray the Lord will help me. And I pray the Lord will help you. And I pray this evening that if you are dealing in a situation in your life where you are confused, if you're dealing with a situation in your life where you don't know what to think, I want you to know that there is one who can help you. It is God. He has made a way for you to receive the help that you need. You have to want to. I believe as Brother Clifford Wilson wrote in his book, I believe it was his book, Moral Law, where it says, a man is saved because he wants that more than anything else in his life. He wants it more than anything. We have to come to that place. And I realize that it's going to take, if you have one of those situations in your home this evening, folks, where it's difficult, my heart goes out to you. My prayers are for you and with you. May God help you to know how to have the love that you need to have for those things, for those situations, to know how to be able to reach somehow those things. But I want us to know we have a responsibility before God and before those that are coming up around us to do everything we can to reinforce the vehement good that God made when He created this world. You please pray for me. Thank you for your time and attention this evening.